Well, good evening. Thank you for being here. I am thankful that you are here. Most people in the world, they do not think very much about being grateful, about being thankful, except around Thanksgiving. Then they sit down and talk about all the things that they're thankful for. But yet over the course of the year, they really don't give them much thought. Now God wants His people to always to remember to be thankful. We should be thankful for all that God has blessed us with. Thankful for our families, thankful for our friends, thankful for grandkids. Should we not be thankful for everything that we have? In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the writer here writes, "By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." Offering the sacrifice of praise continually to God. Basically what it's saying is giving thanks. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Are we truly thankful? This evening I kind of want us to consider a few things. I want us to consider many of the blessings from God that we should be grateful for. Now, I would assume that everyone here this evening is thankful for the Bible. Am I right? If you're not truly thankful for the Bible, then we need to talk. Because within the pages of the Bible that we have, it gives us not only God's Word, but how we should live, how we are to be saved, how we should be thankful. Paul writes Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, if I can find it there. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. Now, when we look at these two verses here, all Scripture, not this part of them, not only the parts that we like or the parts that we agree with, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally in here it's talking about God breathed and is profitable. You know, we all like profit, don't we? That means that we've gained. So here we can see that God's Word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Because I for one, sometimes I need correction. And maybe even reproof sometime. And I believe that everyone that is a Christian, at one point in time in their life as a Christian, they've needed to be corrected. Now, corrected by God's Word, not by what I think on how you should live, but it's by what God's Word says that we should live. So again, all Scripture is given by God, given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let's not forget that one. Many times, you know, we fail to be instructed in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, you know, I know everyone here knows these scriptures frontwards and backwards, but have we really stopped and considered what it means? All scripture. All. Not pieces and parts. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, let's not forget that part, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. You remember what Paul told Timothy? All scripture given by inspiration. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then Peter writes, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. But you know what? There's many in the world today who profess to be religious. They are speaking the will of man and not the will of God. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of God, by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Let's not forget that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and not man. Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we're going to look at several verses there. The Bible teaches us what God expects of his people. James chapter 1, let's start reading in verse 21. James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness or an excess, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Again, think back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 or 3 and verses 16 and 17. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All right? So when it says here, wherefore, lay all part of filthiness, or apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto the man beholding his face, or his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, all scripture given by inspiration of God. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. When we go about our daily life, are we truly thankful and grateful for the Word of God? You know what? What would have happened if man sinned in the garden and God drove Adam and Eve out of that garden? And as they were walking out, God said, There's a way that you can be saved, but you have to figure it out yourself. Do you think man would have ever figured it out? Absolutely not. But God gave us everything that we need, and we can read about it in our Bibles, in the Word of God that was given by the inspiration of God. We have the way and the means to be saved. And that within itself should cause us to be thankful and grateful for God and what He's done for us. We read in Psalms 119 and verse 105, probably everybody knows this by heart, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know that it's very simple. The lamp there is light. How many of you, if you were walking out on a completely dark road, would you not want something to shine, to make the path that you were on safe? You know, I've been caught out into the woods up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan at night. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're down in the deep woods, it's dark. You can't see. And I don't know how many times I've tripped over a branch or something laying on the ground that caused me to stumble. If we're not grateful and thankful for the Word that is a light unto our path, it shines the way. I'm amazed at the people that reject God's word. They're walking a path blindly. They have no clue where they're going. You know, many people do not even believe that there is a heaven or there is a hell. And these people, they're walking this path without any true direction. They have no light. They have no lamp. Their path is bleak and dark. And they have no hope. The Bible has the power to convict even the hardest of hearts. You believe that? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Do we believe this to be true? You know, I think that the Bible pretty much shows us the truth in this. Look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Now the parable is this. You all probably know this too. The parable of the soils. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. We're not going to be able to convict. We're not going to be able to, as the Hebrew writer here talks about, the word of God is quick and powerful. That's the same thing that's being talked about here. The parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Quick and powerful. And then we read in verse 15, "But on that the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, kept it and bring forth fruit with patience. This is the same word that the Hebrew writer is talking about that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This is the same word that's being talked about here. Further proof? Acts 2 and verse 37. Here Peter stands up and he's preaching. And I believe, this is me, okay? It doesn't say this in Scripture, but I can just see Peter standing up there before the mass of people. All of the Jews that were there, that were probably with when Jesus was brought out, and they said, you know, crucify him, crucify him. I believe that some of these same people were there. And Peter probably standing up there pointing his finger at them. And you who crucified. And then we read this. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That was God's word. These same people who cried to have Christ crucified. Now, I'm not saying that every one of them was there on that day. But I believe that a majority were. Because Peter accused them. He flat out accused them of killing Jesus. That they were guilty of his death. And he preached the gospel to them. The word of God. Sharper than a two-edged sword. The Bible. I'm thankful and I'm grateful that we have God's Word that we can live by today. Second thing is I'm grateful and I'm thankful for the church. And here's why. First of all, it's an institution that was founded and established by Christ. It was brought to light on the day of Pentecost. But the church, this is what I'm thankful for and grateful for. The church brings various people with different backgrounds together. Within the body of Christ, there's not man, there's not woman. There's not Republicans, there's not independents, there's not Democrats. It makes no difference what your political view may be or what your customs may be, because in Christ, we're all the same. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 and 28. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Paul says here, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's no Jews, there's no Greeks. Neither is there bond or free. There's no slaves or free people. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we're all the same. Yeah, we all have, you know, different ideas. We have, you know, we drive different cars. We live in different homes. We have different hobbies. But in Christ, we are the same. You know, Paul says very clearly that there's neither Jew nor Greek. In other words, Paul's saying, hey, there's no difference in the political views that you may have. Okay? There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. We should look upon one another as equals. No one's better or worse than yourself. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers, no more foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Do you truly understand that we are a family? That we have moms and dads and brothers and sisters? The church gives us a purpose, doesn't it? It allows us to be a part of something that matters, something more than ourselves. The church gives us a purpose. And we're told exactly what that purpose is in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's our purpose. As a family of God, we have a purpose in life. We don't just simply meander around not knowing what we're to do. We have purpose. We have meaning. We have a job to do. The church is going to win in the end. Did you know that? The church is going to end in the end. The church is a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Matthew 16 and verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What did Peter say? Jesus, did he not ask, who do men say that I am? Well, they said, well, you know, some Elijah, some this, some that. Then he asked the disciples the direct question, who do you say that I am? Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here's Jesus' response to that fact. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The rock, the confession of Peter, that Jesus Christ was the living Son of God. But you know, we can read also prophecy about the church. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. And in the days of those kings shall God of heaven set up a kingdom. What did Jesus say to Peter? That he was going to build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. It's still standing today. We're a part of it. Brothers and sisters, we are the kingdom. I am thankful and I am grateful for the church, the kingdom that was established, that Jesus built. And thirdly, I am thankful, I'm grateful for God's grace. How about you? Are you thankful? Are you grateful for God's grace? God's grace completely removes our sins from us, and He remembers them no more. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Psalms 103, we're going to start reading at verse 10. Psalms 103, I'm going to start in verse 10. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad? I know I am. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is the mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Hallelujah. God's grace has completely removed our sins. And notice what's written in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. When we sin, God is merciful. And their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I am so thankful and grateful for the grace of God. God's grace offers us a gift that we do not deserve. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We deserve death. That's what we deserve. We're sinful. But because of the love of God, we have eternal life offered to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. God's grace caused Jesus to pay the price in our place. We deserve to be on that cross, not Him. John writes in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Are you thankful and grateful for that sacrifice? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His Son so that we might have life. And then we read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. He laid His life down for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. God has blessed us with both physical and spiritual blessings. The blessings we have today are not guaranteed tomorrow. You realize that? The blessings that we have today are not guaranteed tomorrow. James 4, verse 13. You know, we had a couple guys saying, hey, let's go to this town and let's buy and sell and make gain. Well, the problem is they left God out of the equation. And here's the response. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. We may not be here tomorrow, but we have the opportunity right now. We have the opportunity right now to seek forgiveness if we have sin in our lives, because we have a Lord, a God, a Savior who is willing to forgive even the most hardened heart. So if you're here this evening, if you're in need of prayer, for whatever the reason, we'd ask that you'd come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.